he kind of anticipated. But I'm listening to the tape after it's over. And I haven't phoned in years. And Bob Fass didn't say anything when Gerd said that because he knew I don't phone anymore. So, yeah, it's a ridiculous show. Bob Fass is ridiculous. The regular callers call in to make fun of him or just do nonsense. He's very frustrated. He's probably contemplating suicide every now and then because he can't get any reasonably intelligent callers. But sometimes it is.
Well, he's a victim of his own despair.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, Paul Krasner told me in 99 that Bob Fass is the master of dead air. He has a lot of silent gaps, you know, with Bob style.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I'm not expecting to read him, to listen to him, but just wondering if you did. I haven't even finished it, so I don't even know how it turns out. I just try to give you good warning, give you a few days to do it.
Yeah.
But it only takes 30 seconds, that's nothing. And you can do it at home as well as at work, right?
No, I do it at home.
Oh, okay. Okay, so enjoy the new contrast that's coming, that is for you. And look at the new opportunities. You should become a raconteur.
Yeah.
Talk Bob
pretty soon, maybe I'll be teaching the stuff myself one day.
Yeah, you should start your own little cult. Show up at different bars and start get drunk and start talking.
Well, it was fun to have someone who had enough of an interest to actually draw me out.
Right.
Because I usually give up in frustration after about 10 minutes talking to people about this stuff.
Yeah, they don't have any context. They don't know what. But he's a student, somebody trying to write a paper on something.
Well, yeah, he's studying literature. So he's studying, you know, he understands the... That you know, language.
The thinning is awake and all that.
Well, language is key. Now, I went back and listened to some old days when Jerry was first getting you on Dave Porter, and then he was taking phone calls after
right.
the shows.
Yeah.
And Jerry.
Are you on the timeline, or you have your own copy?
I have a copy of a bunch of stuff like
some
that.
Some of them are on the timeline. Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't think the Jerry phone calls, Jerry receiving phone calls at home are on there, but maybe.
Some of them are. There's a few, I think. They're listed. May not be all of them.
But one of Jerry's favorite questions to people was, does language create reality?
Right.
It was interesting to hear people's responses. What's your response to that?
Does language create reality? We create reality.
Nah. And we create language, which massages our perception of reality.
Right. See, it's two-way.
Yeah.
It's not one way. It's not language creates reality.
Yeah.
It's a systole-diastole action.
Systole-diastole. Have you been in touch with Bob Marshall lately?
No, I have not talked to Bob in maybe since November.
Oh.
Maybe the end of November, he was getting... He was working, and he was going to work all the way through till New Year's because he needed to save up money because he doesn't get any work in the winter.
Mm.
And so here it is, January 11th, and I've been calling a couple times, no answer. So I don't know what he's doing, but I have not spoken to him in like 2 months. 6 weeks or
yeah.
more. He's out of touch. And usually he's working. He works long hours, and he goes home and goes to bed. And he was telling me when I talked to him 6 or so weeks ago that, you know, he's way behind in the Bob stuff. So he was going to start going through it all in January. So he may, he could think this way. If he knows I'm calling, he won't answer because he's going to take the whole month to catch up. Then he'll feel he has something to say.
Ah, well, yeah, he's got a lot of catching up to because at this rate, if you don't stay current with Bob, you're in the drink.
Yeah. Oh, just a minute. I flipped it.
And Greg Duffel issued some kind of statement update as to what's going on with his deal?
I just put, okay, the clip went out again. What were you saying?
Greg Duffel issued a statement, what's going on out there with the lawsuit and everything?
Yes. Now, what were you just saying about Ed? So, Bob Marshall, I'm assuming the optimistic view is that he's doing his homework before he'll talk to me. And was that all we were saying about him?
Yeah, and I was just...
Oh, that he works. He has to work his butt off, you know?
Yeah.
And he just sleeps and works and sleeps and works and sleeps.
Oh.
I mean, you know, he has to work hard and he didn't get that much money.
Right.
It's carpentry kind
no,
of
he,
stuff.
No, yeah, he's... I guess he has different things he can do for money, but I have the idea he doesn't have an easy go of it.
I think he's physical. I think he likes working hard,
mm-hmm.
but he always overdoes it.
Oh.
And wears himself out.
So he does,
I don't know.
What, carpentry, and then he does landscape stuff, and then he does
landscape,
tends bar.
And then he tends bar on the weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, it's work that's not consistent, so he has to keep doing it when he gets it to build up for the drought periods.
Right.
But, Greg Duffel just sent the big thing is happening on January 22nd, on the 22 day.
Hmm. And that'll determine whether or not it turns into a trial or whether the judge just does a ruling?
Well, he told me there's something else that's shocked them that may end it all. He can't tell me, but we'll know pretty in 11 days or so.
Hmm.
Something that the bad guys at the station never expected happened.
In Greg's favor.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good.
So, we'll see.
Well, all we need to do is get you back on there again, and everybody's going to really start falling behind.
Yeah. Well, then we're going to be doing 3 hours of cash flow.
I know.
Who's going to be able to keep up with that?
Well, it's sounds like a lot of fun. James is having a hoot of a time. That's great for him.
Yeah.
He's having fun, and Eben is just really she just keeps getting sharper and sharper. Her she's getting clearer and more refined in her ability to try to penetrate down into the issue.
Yeah.
She did complain a little bit, you know, that Ion's a little hard to nail down. She doesn't have a grievance about that, though, because, you know, sometimes people get in there really, really, really try to get the question down to a gnat's ass and then end up with sort of a generalized question, maybe feel that they didn't really get the issue sorted out. But then, you know, she says, well, but Ion encompasses such a vast view that, you know,
I would say that as I've dealt with so much with Ion, that in the end it's a vague answer. It's a chicken and egg and plus, and that's what we got to relax and allow on. There ain't no answer that can be defined.
Mm.
It's a process.
Right.
Of your physical, non-physical, and labyrinth of your mind, getting those three in alignment.
Mm.
And the... So I used to get pissed off at Ion's vagueness, but now I sort of understand why. I know a lot more now. It's way more complicated, and you understand. One understands why Ion's vague, and in the end, Ion says it's a crapshoot for it too.
Oh,
Ion has said that it's a crapshoot for us too, because they're dealing with us, and we're weird. Human minds are. Unruly, we create, they don't.
Right, in other words, it's a crapshoot as to whether or not he can actually communicate and make,
Or have us even stay, learn something and then stay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be a major intervention by non-physical, and it's just a crapshoot. So they went with the best candidate, Bob and Connie, the only ones who could. Maybe give him a chance to pull it off.
Well, what is it? Just keep asking those questions.
Yeah. Are you quoting Ion?
More or less.
Sort of, yeah, Ion says, keep asking those questions, Bob. We love to play.
Right. You've got the World Crown Championship for
questions.
For questions.
Yeah, I think I'm so good at it that. You know, I've broken the 1 minute mile, and it's gonna be a long time before anybody else is gonna catch up.
Well,
then again, if I did it, that shows it can be done. So
yeah.
Anyways, I ask way more questions than anybody else.
Does Ion profess to actually communicate through other channels to other people?
No, I don't think it does that.
Mm.
Nothing. It's never said it did that.
Mm.
He's got very good ESP, though. There's some recent stories, can't remember now, of ESP with us, which are pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And JW has ESP. He it's developed in him now.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
But, okay, so that's the, we're talking about questions, answering, asking questions, crapshoot. What was the other point?
Well, you know, he talks about the thinning of the veil. Is that for everybody or just those people who are tuning in and pursuing this like you are?
Yeah, Ian says that for some people, the veil has never been thick. Okay, so those are people that got to that point. And Ian says there are more opportunities to experience the thin veil now than ever before, but it's still an individual basis. There will be many people who won't do it, and it won't thin for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then that becomes chicken and egg. It's thinning anyways. You see, there's it's the neither yes nor no, but it's both plus.
And yeah, some people are just good at pulling the covers back over themselves over and over and over, even though they're covers are being pulled away.
But yeah, and the covers keep getting pulled away and the pressure cooker's on.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the most materialist place like a hospital, and there you are, you see people not dying. They're all, you know, tapped in machines, and the machines keep them going. So they have to confront the non-physical that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about the people who've died in surgery and then reported that they had an experience. Only 1 in 10 people, on average, actually remember anything. But there's so much. Medicine has such a much better ability now to bring people back that there's many, many, many more cases, probably hundreds per year.
Yeah. No, Ian says that's one of the ways the veil is thinning through the hospital world.
Mm. One that I thought was kind of funny. I don't think you would. This I don't think this is funny because you and Carolyn believe you're not going to die anyway, so you don't have an issue with either being alive or dead. But one story I thought was kind of funny. A guy wakes up out of his body and he's floating there and he looks down at it and the first idea that comes to him is, "What in the hell was I doing in that thing?"
Yeah, I know that story. Yeah, well, that's why Ian calls it a meat sack. And when he talks about me eating, yeah, just scarf it. Just throw it down your throat hole, Bob. And I was thinking about that the other day. You know, when you're stoned on acid or something, the body looks quite bulky or something.
Uh-huh.
That's what he sees. He sees us with our little meat sacks.
Yeah.
You know, we got... It's like there's this huge glowing thing, or non-physical, and then there's this little stupid suitcase we drag around. The non-physical drags around with it, and that's what we call our body.
Well, I'm glad Carolyn's providing an anti-environment to some degree to Ion's philosophy, which is eat anything, anytime, anywhere, as long as you're happy doing it.
Right.
Because I like to follow. I like to do both. I like to some degree maintain a kind of a hygiene of what I put into my mouth. I notice that the fuel that I put into my body seems to make a difference. I suppose because that's what I believe. On the one hand. On the other hand, I try not to be too hard on myself when I slip up.
Right. Ion agrees with Carolyn. I mean, but it, as a general statement, Ion is raising the bar, saying, okay, let's deal with the facts. The facts are you can create anything you want. Okay, that's where we begin. Now, you want to get into cultural ratios, and yeah, maybe it's better you do this as opposed to that, but that's the secondary level. The main level is it wants to move us to the be, do, have, whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's trying to say that is truer than you realize.
Yeah.
So, but Ion agrees that in the you can't just have someone go there, go in stages. So you need to have Carol knowledge for the stages.
Hmm. Now, an interesting concept I came across. I mentioned a book to you once called The Course in Miracles, and in there they have one of the levels. They say that. God exists in perfection, and because perfection can't include illusion or suffering, well, that God actually is not aware and cannot be aware of the world of illusion in which human beings live. However, there is a
Go ahead.
However, there is a an intermediary stage between, which sounds like what Ion refers to as the labyrinth of the mind, through which that spiritual energy can be communicated down into the world of illusions, so that we who believe that we're here in physical bodies, which ultimately isn't even true at all, can remember the truth.
Right, and then I am with Cotter saying the physical is way more important than the non-physical.
Yeah.
It ain't an illusion here. It's the best place to be.
Yeah.
But then you want to bring the non-physical into it.
Yeah.
And God's us, not something out there.
Yeah. I know, but I know it and I don't know it. It rings true, and yet my puny little...
It falls flat. It thuds deeply.
My puny little Scottness just is going to, you know... Keeps stubbornly
arguing for your limitations.
Yeah.
Okay, Big Scott.
Okay, Bob. Thanks for the catch up.
Yeah, we're up to date, and you've had your contact with Bob's non-physical.
Yeah, I'm all massaged for the time being.
Okay, we'll probably do Scott next week.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.